Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 99 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we thought it would be a good time, considering all that's been going on in the world and particularly in the US, to talk about having differences of opinion on things in your relationship, and not just I want to go to dinner here, no, I want to go to dinner there, but kind of the big stuff, because it is something you're going to probably come up against more than once in your relationship. So I think, yeah, the election in the States obviously kind of made us think about this initially, but there's a lot of things that it could apply to. And I know the political side of it was something that you were keen to talk about, Rich. Did you want to kind of just start unpacking with that one?
Well, just predominantly that this election, elections are always difficult when it comes to disagreeing with people in your family, on your close circle. This election feels particularly heated.
Divided.
Yeah, and yes, the people, you know, with this election, you hear a lot about, you know, a lot of terms get thrown around, you know, like culture war, and people who think, people who support Trump really think he's on a mission through this great work, and his opponents, they've got very little regard for, and the same is true on the opposite. You know, the people who don't support Trump think he's someone who needs to be stopped and get him out at all costs. And, you know, we're not putting any opinion on either of that into this episode. It's more that if you're caught up in the middle of that, where you support one side and you're partner or your family or their family support the opposite, it feels like this time in particular can be more difficult than normal to bridge that divide. And obviously this all comes off the back of pandemics and lockdowns and travel bans and not being able to close the distance, not being able to meet for the first time. All those plans have been thrown out the window. There's financial insecurity, job insecurity. Like, it's been a difficult year in so many ways, and all of that's kind of culminating anyway with emotional charge.
Yeah,
and then
sure,
you've got an election that's always difficult on top of it. There's obviously talk at the moment about you know, Trump's claims about fraud. All these things, just there's so much more ammunition for either side to feel both smug and or angry. And so this, yeah, as you said, it just kind of prompted the conversation that let's talk about this, and then more broadly let's talk about how you can navigate those differences of opinion, even when they're, you know, serious or significant, to stay happy in a healthy relationship.
Yeah, and I think really the place to begin with this, on this particular issue, which will apply to kind of other issues as well, is respect. And I think that that's something that is sorely lacking. And I think it's easy to see when looking at this election in particular that, you know, not everyone is being really, you know, I don't know if the right word is hateful, but not everyone is feeling so hateful. But there is a lot of that going around. There seems to be a lot of hate from one side to the other. And I think it's important to remember that those voting for one candidate are not just racist hicks idiots, and the other side are not communist socialists, leftists, you know, don't want any laws. You know, it's important to remember that people are passionate about this because they genuinely believe one thing or the other, and it's really, really important to them. And, you know, those agendas mean something to them. So I think, you know, I've seen a lot of comments in particular about one of the candidates, like, oh, I just can't believe people are voting for him. This just means that they're hateful. And I don't think it's as simple as that. I think there's a lot to unpack here. People are not as simple as their vote. You know, there's a lot going into it. And I know for certain that there are people who voted for one candidate or the other, but felt that they were settling. You know, not everyone felt that there was a great option, you know, in this election. So I think remembering that people are voting for this because, for whatever reason, maybe you don't like that reason, maybe in your mind it's not good enough, but they have a reason that they're making that vote. And then you need to apply that to your relationship or your marriage, if this is something that you're going through as a couple. And remember that, you know, you chose your partner, not because you thought that they were an idiot or that they are making the wrong decisions in life. So if they're making a vote that's different than yours, that doesn't mean you have to do what they're doing, but you need to acknowledge that I respect this person in life and I do trust their judgment for them, and kind of start with that.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing about politics is you can know someone really well, and then when you hear about their political affiliations, suddenly feel like you don't know them. And that's important for me because you do still know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and you can't let the politics overshadow who they are, because, you know, the big politics, you know, the big elections and global politics, in a lot of ways, is very far removed from our day-to-day life. You know, yes, it influences you, impacts you when they make laws and whatnot, but you have very little influence over it. So, you know, obviously there are limits to this. If you discover that they're actually incredibly racist, for example, then obviously that's going to change your opinion. But generally, the way they treat you, your dreams for the future, the things you want to do together, the way they make you feel, like, that is really that person.
Yeah.
And opinions are shaped by all sorts of things, from the way we grow up to our lived experiences to what we consume, the media, social media, you know, whatever YouTube videos we watch. It doesn't mean that anyone's... Some people are right, some people are wrong, of course, but it doesn't mean that they're any better or worse as a person. It comes down to the communication and trying to find out where they're coming from. Because I think everyone really wants the same thing, which is, you know, their idea of a really good life for people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just people have differences of opinions on the best way of getting that. So if you disagree with them politically, but you think, actually, do you know what, they're a really good person, they treat me really well, they're very respectful, they help old ladies across the street, and whatever it may be, then you shouldn't really just let the fact they have a different political vote to you massively override how you feel about them. And I think it's important just to have conversations, just, well, look, you know, why do you feel that way? This is how I feel about that. Because a lot of times with this, and this is the big shame when there's lack of communication, is that it's just different interpretations of the same event. And if you actually just come to the discussion table, you'd say, oh, you know, I hadn't thought of it that way, or, well, actually, I read this source and this is why I think it's more compelling.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I didn't realize it had been debunked, or whatever it may be. But you're never going to get there without the communication. But, you know, I remember when we had our Brexit vote in 2016, it very similar. It was so emotional. Like, there were people who said, you know, my parents voted to leave the EU and I can't talk to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who've raised them. Until that point, they had a really good relationship. You know, they're very close families, but I can't comprehend that, just being willing to cut someone off completely. I could be willing to say, do you know what, let's not talk about this.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be good for us to talk about, and we'll get onto that in a minute. But to actually cut people out of your lives who've been good people and have raised you and have raised you well, and have looked after you and you and everything they've done in life, just to come down to the, yeah, okay, it's a massive, massive opinion and difference of opinion, but it to me, it's just unreasonable to be that way. And I can see the same thing happening with the US election and other topics, you know, religion's up there too. And, you know, we'll talk about a few different things in a minute, but that's sort of the backdrop to this.
Yes, and I think it's also important to remember that you can change your mind.
Yeah,
and exactly. People do change their minds. And sometimes, you know, and we'll talk about this in a minute as well, that can be part of the issue. But don't stick your feet in the ground or dig your heels in. That's what I meant. Just because you made up your mind. If your partner is showing you, you know, believable and like verified facts about something, making really good points, and you are actually quite interested or swayed, explore that, you know? And even if you don't come to side with your partner, that's okay. But showing, hey, you know what, I read that article you mentioned and I see the point, but, you know, I still just can't get behind this, this, and this. You know, you can agree about certain things, but not everything, and then still support different sides.
Yeah, but also on that point, create an environment where it's safe to change your opinion, because we, for some reason, live in a time where you're almost chastised now for changing your opinion. Like, you know, you'll see videos from 20 years ago of a politician that said something, and then it's rolled out now to say, look, this is what they believe. And it's like, 20 years is a long time. Mm. They could easily have changed. If you haven't changed your opinion substantially for 20 years, that's more problematic than you haven't changed your mind. So, like, don't set up as a battle where, you know, you're going to win, you're going to be vindicated, I told you so kind of situation. It needs to be a respectful environment. And if you're trying to, not necessarily convince someone to change their mind, but if you're just having this conversation and saying this is where I'm coming from and you're hoping it's going to lead to resolution and in an ideal world you want them to change their opinion, you can't make them feel, if they do, you're going to gloat about it. And do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was right all along. You can't. So just be really mindful of that and pay attention to how commonplace this is now. You'll see this a lot on social media in particular. Certainly I do. And I think it's ridiculous. You need to encourage people to grow and have an open mind enough to change and not criticise when they do. Or not say, well, you can't really believe that because you said this 5 years ago. I change opinions drastically over a period of months, let alone 5, 10, 20 years.
Yeah, and I think that kind of ties in well with the next point, with in general, not necessarily political, but you might begin a relationship with someone, and I think you should never get into a serious relationship until you've discussed some of these big points. That might be religious views, that might be whether or not you want to have children, if you do have children, how you want to raise them. These are conversations that you have to have before you're going to really dive in.
But opinions can still change. Yes, we discussed exactly. All that and our opinions changed. Yes. 180 on all those things.
Yeah. Both of us have, well, not everything, but both of us, I mean, religion has changed for one of us. Political stuff, a little bit. I mean, I think we're generally pretty similar in that anyway.
Yeah, we used to talk about kids and stuff.
Yeah, but children, that's changed.
And we have an episode on that.
Yeah. Luckily, we happen to see eye to eye on these things. So that's really fortunate. Not everyone does. You know, one person might change and not the other.
Well, we didn't always, particularly around religion, and I think we can use that experience in this episode to talk about, you know, how we made that work.
We just stopped talking about it.
Yeah, predominantly.
I think, to be honest, it wasn't something that was just swept under the rug, but it was definitely addressed and discussed in a, I think, quite open-minded, but sometimes it would get, I don't know if heated is the right word, but just passionate, maybe. And then it was like, okay, well, I understand where you stand and you understand where I stand. That's good to know. And I think this is the problem. Agree to disagree has just disappeared.
Mm.
You know, you can't, it's become something else. It's become, we just will not discuss this ever, or you're being cut out of my life. It can't just be like, yep, it's there. It's kind of a sore spot. We don't agree, but it's not the only thing that matters. And I think that is a hugely important thing to be able to have, is to agree to disagree. And I think with the bigger issues in particular, it's important. And now since then, you know, my religion has, or my religious beliefs have completely changed. And still, they don't align with yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You probably like them a bit better than you did before. But, you know.
Well, and maybe that comes down to expectations of, I think a lot of the time, people get too passionate about this, too, you know, full of conviction that they're wrong, they need to change, is one of two things. One, maybe your own insecurity about how you feel about things, because we always feel much more validated when people agree with us. And the less secure we are about how we truly believe about things, especially as big as religion, where, you know, the consequence of getting it wrong can be, you know, eternal damnation.
Mm-hmm.
If someone agrees with you about why you think, maybe let's say you don't believe, someone agrees with you, you think, yeah, okay, I feel much more confident about that. But if the person who means the most to you in the world says, no, you're wrong, and I worry about your soul and all this kind of stuff, maybe you get really passionate and forceful and argumentative because you're thinking, like, because you know, you're worried that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you want them to. So maybe there's an element of insecurity. And I think the second expectation point here is that you think you need to agree on everything to have a really good relationship. We have no room to disagree, because that's a sign of weakness in a relationship or as a couple. And yeah, we fundamentally disagree with that. We disagree, our opinions disagree on a few things. We're very similar in a lot of ways, but, you know, not everything. And if your expectation is you have to be in perfect alignment across the board, you're probably setting yourself up for longer term disappointment, because there will 100% become a day when you don't agree.
And also, where's the fun in not learning and growing and challenging each other? You know, you don't have to agree on everything.
And what happened, because you will both grow. You know, the person you are at 40 shouldn't be the person you are at 20. And if it is, there's a problem. And if you are the same person at 40 as you were at 20, then your partner's going to have an issue with you, which means you're going to be growing over that time. And it's possible you're going to grow in a slightly different direction, still be compatible, but certain opinions enter the fold that don't align with yours. Yeah, so you can't have an expectation that we have to agree on everything. Everything has to be perfectly aligned.
Mm.
So if your expectation is, I can't be with someone who voted for Trump because I voted for Biden, or vice versa, or I can't be with someone who's not a Christian of a specific denomination, you know, you're really setting this up for an awful lot of pain in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just as you would expect your children to grow and change and experience things, you know, adults have that as well. You know, we are constantly evolving beings, and the person you marry on day one is not necessarily going to be the person that you are retiring with on day 10,000, or, you know, whatever that's going to be. It might be a lot more than that. I don't know. But, you know, I think it's about understanding that you made a commitment to the person as a whole. And while their beliefs, political opinions, life paths are very important parts. I combined two words. I've been doing that a lot lately. I think I'm just trying to be more efficient. Are important parts of that person. They do not make up the whole. And like Rich said earlier, you know, you have to remember that you do know this person. So it's also important to take into consideration why someone feels the way they do. If someone has left the religion that you both shared, maybe they have a different experience than you do. Maybe they were persecuted for some reason, or felt really attacked or abused. Like, who knows? I think that not everyone's experience is the same.
Maybe there's legacy. You know, maybe there's ancestral reasons, especially around religion or certain political beliefs. You think, you know, I suppose the one that springs to mind is if your family comes from a background of you know, maybe being in the Soviet Union, been under certain persecutions and things, that's kind of a massive role in shaping your beliefs and opinions. And if you've grown up somewhere like we both have, fortunately, in a more safe and free country, it's very hard to impossible to relate to that. You have to just try and understand where they're coming from rather than relate to what they've experienced. But you have to just kind of have that empathy to say, you know, I can't relate to that because my life hasn't been that difficult, but I respect that it was a defining moment for you, and although we don't see eye to eye, you know, I'm going to respect that's your opinion. Because it's very easy to, one, think your opinion's the right one, but two, to operate from this position of essentially, that's a position of ignorance, and when you've not experienced something, but to then have the arrogance alongside it to say, I've not experienced that, but I still think I'm right. My mm-hmm. way is still the right way. If you haven't really lived and experienced certain things, you haven't got the right to say to someone else how they should feel about it, including how that impacts their beliefs, their voting opinions, or their religious beliefs, how they think society should be run, you know, the importance of certain things. You can still disagree with them, but I think you haven't got the right to tell them how it should influence them.
Exactly. And, you know, talking about kind of the ancestral side, a slightly different angle of that, a lot of us, when we're young, develop our opinions and beliefs because of what we were raised with, what our parents believed. And some of us move away from that, and some of us don't, and that's absolutely fine. But it's important that you explore whether or not you agree with that when you get to an age where you're able to start processing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that's a teenager or older, you know, even children start asking questions. I mean, This is why people don't always believe in Santa. You start to think, well, hold on, I don't know if that makes sense. Or someone told me this wasn't true. And actually, I can kind of see why maybe it isn't. You know, so, you know, if you are holding on to beliefs or opinions or views that are only there because they were what you were raised with, there's no harm in exploring something different. And maybe you explore what your partner believes if that's different to how you were raised. And asking questions, you shouldn't do that with the goal of, oh, I want to be just like my partner now. But whatever it is, don't be a puppet. You know,
yeah, and there's no,
make your own decision.
There's no harm ever to being curious. You know, if you were raised a certain way, this is how a lot of people live their lives, is I'm raised a certain way, and that's the way because it's familiar and comfortable, and you've got the family attachment too. It's comforting. So you don't necessarily think it's right or wrong, but it's comforting. But you never branch out, especially when it comes to religion, where you're actively taught other things are wrong or potentially damning,
mm-hmm.
literally, you know. But actually, there's no harm ever in being curious, and there's more harm in staying in that box. You know, if you, just for argument's sake, if you grew up a Mormon and, you know, you live 50 years only ever operating inside that framework, you've got no other frame of reference for any other religions, other denominations of Christianity, you know, people who don't believe at all, people with just different worldviews. So that's a limiting thing. In my opinion, it doesn't mean you have to stop being a Mormon, but you can explore, you can be curious, you can ask questions. What does it mean for you to be this? What's your reason for believing this thing that's different to me? All that's going to do for you is make you a more well-rounded, knowledgeable, open person.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and then that's, to me, that's only got upside. You know, you talking about believing in Santa. I mean, that's kind of entered my consciousness a few years ago, seeing people online really arguing whether it's right or wrong to raise kids with that belief. So for me, like, I loved it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I really,
oh, me too.
Really believe that there's that sense of magic and wonder that we only really have in childhood, and it gets taken away from us at a very young age, and then we never get it back. And, you know, you see adults and we're much more cynical, we haven't got a sense of magic, we don't believe things very easily. You know, we have the opposite. We really put limits on ourselves and our capabilities, and I can't do that. What will people think of me? When you're a kid, everything's just amazing. So it never really even crossed my mind that it's wrong to, you know, because, you know, ultimately it is a lie. You're lying to children. The tooth fairy's not coming along and exchanging money for teeth, and Santa's not coming down the chimney and leaving presents. But
I never felt let down or betrayed.
No, I didn't.
I remember kind of, I didn't have the thing where I came home from school where another kid had said he wasn't real. I think, you know, there's movies where they talk about, like, you know, kids, like family movies growing up, like, oh, do you believe in Santa? You know, and it's like, I knew that by the time I decided that I didn't believe it, I knew that it was an option, if that makes sense. And I, you know, I had a brother and sister who were much older than me, and they carried on with it and, you know, pretended for me and stuff.
I mean, I don't know anyone. I'm sure, you know, they're out there, but go on.
I just had a funny anecdote, really.
Okay, go on.
I just remember the year, it was a couple days before Christmas, and I said, I was probably 6 or 7, and I just remember, like, going into the living room, my mom and brother were in there, and I was like, I think I know Santa's not real now. And my mom was like, oh, really? And I was like, yeah. She's like, okay, yeah, you're right. Like, if you're ready to stop believing that's true, he doesn't exist. And my brother goes, cool, so do we have to wait till Christmas now to open our presents? Like, can we go now? Like, and it wasn't a big deal. It was like, okay, that's fine. But there was still magic and wonder.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is I don't know anyone who feels betrayed or let down or, like, their parents can't be trusted anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, as I said, I'm sure people like that are out there. Maybe you're listening to this. But the point of bringing it up is, you know, these big decisions and disagreements, you could easily marry someone who has a big difference of opinion on this, and that's harder because it's not just you saying, look, I vote for Trump, you vote for Biden, let's respect each other's differences and not mention it. This is actually, how do we raise someone else? You know, that's a much bigger decision, and, you know, religion and politics are 100% going to come into that too, but these potential disagreements can filter down And you know, we haven't got kids, so we're limited. What we can say on this is quite limited because we haven't got practical experience of it. But it's it's another place for you to kind of practice this. You know, I don't know. I suppose if we were in that position, maybe the thing to do is talk to other parents.
But I think they're in a unique position to really show their children what this world needs more of, and that is, we're different, but we love each other, and that doesn't define our relationship.
But what would you do with the kid, you know, when they're young enough to be believing in Santa, and one of their parents says...
I thought we were talking more like the bigger issues.
No, let's talk about Santa.
Oh.
And one parent says, of course we've got to teach in Santa, you know, about Christmas and all that magic and wonder in the North Pole and Santa coming down the chimney and delivering presents. And the parent says, no, you know, I had a really traumatic upbringing, and I never trusted my parents. This is a big part of that. We need to be honest with them and just tell them, look, Johnny, we give you your presents.
Well, I guess...
Because on this real quick, you know, some people, like my mum said, I never really paid attention to this. When I was growing up, we had some presents from Santa and some presents from family. And she said, you know, part of the reason they did that was if we had more money spent on us than other children... or some other children, you know, and they all come from Santa, they're going to think, well, how come, like, why is Santa preferring you over us? We only got one or two things, weren't very much money. So, like, my parents' view was, we can do that, and that one, that's come from us. Santa's bought you this, you know, one or two things.
Yeah, we always have presents from both, too.
So, like, there's ways of doing it, but that probably wouldn't have occurred to me until she said, I only found that out fairly recently, you know.
Well, I think... I mean, it's easy for me to say this, but in my opinion, there's no harm in children believing in Santa. But I guess my only opinion is if one parent has an extreme view against it, they need to unpack that and not project things onto their child that they maybe are holding on to. And, you know, if someone did have a traumatic upbringing and didn't trust their parents, they need to recognize that it's a different situation and they don't have to give their child that same upbringing that they had. But I think it needs to be talked about, and that's the only answer. You might decide to do it, you might decide not to, but...
Well, that's really the answer to this whole episode, isn't it? It's, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, and you can go back and listen to our episodes on arguing. We've got the benefits of arguing. We've got talking about money, the questions to ask each other when talking about whether or not you want to have children. You know, and the big consistent theme here is the communication. Because you're not going to get anywhere by trying to force them to change to you. They may say they will, they may say, look, do you know what, fine, I give up, I agree with you. But that has serious consequences. You know, people, they'll start bottling things up, not talking to you about this anymore, I'm going to talk to someone else about it, or I don't think I can trust you as much anymore. If I tell you this, you're just going to really, you know, bully me into changing. So it has consequences. And the only way to really get past this in a wholesome, healthy way that's going to benefit your relationship is communication and respectful communication, where you say, look, this, and as you said, you know, if you had that issue with your parents, like, what happened there? Do you think that's commonplace? Do you think that's going to happen to any kid that believes in Santa? Like, you need to have that discourse with empathy, with respect, and not try and hash it out in one session either. It could be that this goes on for a long time. You just tread around the edges, and gradually you get further and further into it. But I think that's the only way.
Yeah, it's going to be a journey, and it's not going to be solved in one conversation. But I know I have a friend back in America, and she posted a picture on Instagram of their front yard, and it had a Biden-Harris sign, and it had a Trump-Pence sign in it. And she just put his and hers on the picture, and people were commenting like, oh wow, that's rough. I mean, it's not only difference of opinion, but you both feel strongly enough about it to put a sign in your yard about it. Not everyone does that in America. A lot of people do, a lot of people don't. Same here, you see a bit of it, not everyone does it. But usually if you're going to put a sign up, it means you're particularly passionate.
Yeah, I never really got it, because I've never driven past the house to think, oh, that person I don't know is voting for them, I'm going to vote for them too now.
Well, that's a different issue, but you know, she said, you know, it's hard, but we have an opportunity here. This is what I was kind of starting to say. I didn't realize we were just talking about Santa, but you have an opportunity to set a really amazing example for your children, and not just children, but others, you know, even if you don't have kids, but for your friends and your family.
Or anyone who sees that picture on Instagram.
Yeah. And just, it's just a message of tolerance that, you know, yes, we are two intelligent people with our own opinions. They do not always align, but that does not mean that we can't make a life together. It does not mean we can't respect each other. And looking at this couple in particular, looking at their professions, I can see why each of them feels the way that they do. And I'm sure that that's, yeah, I understand where you're coming from because this affects you and this candidate would benefit you directly and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to happen sometimes. And you just have an opportunity to really show love and tolerance and the fact that, yes, it takes work, but it can be done, that we can agree on this or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and just know, you know, like I said before, it doesn't have to be done now. If you get onto this conversation, you know, we're not leaving until we've sorted this. You're not going to sort it, you know, especially if sorting it to you means you change your mind to agree with me. You know, the most important thing is you say, do you know what? I can respect where you're coming from. I don't fully understand it. I certainly don't agree with it, but I can understand that you have your reasons for it. Maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow or next week. But for now, do you want to watch that movie? Like,
yeah, just remember there's more to your relationship than these aspects. You know, obviously there's going to be deal breakers. Like, I want to be polyamorous. And you don't. No, but I'm just saying, like, as couples, like, these are things that can break the relationship. And that's different. We're talking more about things that shouldn't have to break your relationship, but you might come up against, you know, things like, actually, you know what, I've decided I don't want to have a kid. That's a, okay, am I going to be happy with that? Or do I need to end this relationship? So,
and how much of this comes down to you as a person realizing that actually this isn't other people's problems. You have a overriding issue where you don't like people disagreeing with you. You know, whether that's political, whether that's how you raise kids or what your religious beliefs are, it could be that your issue is you. And I used to definitely be like this. You know, I've definitely got better now. But I used to have a... And it wasn't because I felt everyone should agree with me. It's just that I had such a strong sense of conviction for why I felt a certain way. If I didn't have a sense of why, if I couldn't explain it, then be like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. I could say, like, but this is the reason why I feel this way. And if I tell you this reason why, you're going to agree with me. Hugely mellowed over the years.
Yeah, but what you hugely had a problem with there was that you actually read and researched and educated yourself, and that's why you had that opinion. What you really struggled with is if someone had an opinion, but it was just because they had the opinion. If someone had the opposite opinion of you, but they had researched it and felt passionately because of this, this, and this, you were like, oh, I completely disagree with you. Let's have a really big debate that's interesting. But I get
prepared,
it.
Always been prepared to change my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. No, that's true. But yeah, that sense of why was...
That was almost more important than the actual opinion.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, big time. So what I'm saying now is it could be that your big issue, the reason you get angry, the reason you get upset, the reason you find it so difficult to deal with other people disagree with you, it could be you. You know, it could, because everyone's entitled to a different opinion, and especially if you live in a free country where that's really the what underpins it is this freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of thought. What's the point of that if you want to go around making sure everyone agrees with you?
Mm-hmm.
It could be that you're the problem here, and then
well, not problem, but
you're the factor. Yeah, and then what you need to do is sit back and think, okay, do you know what? Yeah, maybe I am being a bit of a dick here. How do I calm down? How do I see this other people's point of view?
And I have a real problem with this.
So just before you go there, because it's hard nowadays because, you know, even 10, 15 years ago, we all roughly consumed the same news. We could buy different magazines, but, you know, the news was on TV, radio, whatever, and we watched the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, that's not the case at all. You know, we've all got the same platforms, but we can make our own echo chambers. I can really follow the people that agree with me. I can shut everyone else out. I can literally block and mute anything else. And then very, very quickly, you can start to think this is normal. Mm-hmm. Anyone who doesn't agree with this is wrong, a fanatic, an extremist. Both sides can do this. Not even both sides, like any opinion can do this. So it's very difficult actually to have the humility to say, oh, you know, actually, I'm not listening to other people.
Yeah. And I have a really big problem. You know, we always say in probably every other episode of ours, this comes up, like, you have to analyze yourself and see what part of this issue in your life is because of maybe your feelings or your notions or wrong opinions or whatever that is. But this whole gaslighting thing, I really have a problem with, but only in the sense that it is, I think, incorrectly used. So people say like, oh, you're just gaslighting me. You're gaslighting me. It's like, I'm just asking you to think, or yeah. I'm telling you that I don't agree with your opinion, or I think that your feelings may be unfounded in a certain aspect. But suddenly gaslighting has become an umbrella term almost for anyone questioning you, or even like when I've talked to people and said, you know, maybe you should look at that. It's like, well, I don't want to gaslight myself. It's like, well, no, but you can unpack things and question. Like, not everything you think and not everything we feel is the right reaction.
Well, and that's a good point. We have become fairly anti-intellectual, I think, because we are now encouraged to and rewarded for being guided by how we feel.
And that's not always a bad thing, but it should go hand in hand with a wealthy dose or healthy dose of logic.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You know, you can't just say, I feel offended. There's nothing wrong with being offended. Nothing happens. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, I feel offended quite often, but you know, offense is that's you then have the decision of how you respond to it, and you can't make policy on it. You know, and you yeah, you need to have that logic. You need to have the time to reflect. And I suppose our society now, we're so connected. You know, you go back a fairly significant period of time, but people used to be on their own with their thoughts a lot more, and it was commonplace to journal and write things down and just reflect. We are 24/7 now consuming other people's opinions and videos and memes and social posts and blog posts and news articles. From the minute you open your eyes, most people are on their phone. You're on your phone before you go to bed. I mean, you've woken up in the night and checked your phone during the night. You know, it is constant now that we're consuming. We are rarely digesting and thinking putting things in. How do I really think about this? Because all too often I think we aren't really putting things in order in our own sense of structure. We're saying, I've heard this, I'm going to repeat all of that, I think it's true. Especially when you're in an echo chamber, because you know we're very influenced by repetition. If we hear something a few times, we start to believe that's true. So you cultivate this echo chamber, your Twitter timeline starts telling you all the same thing, and suddenly, oh yeah, this is true, this is the way the world is. You know, you're not spending any time of an evening to think, you know, what do I really think about this? What's my life really like? How have I really been impacted? What really led to me feeling this way? And I think that's an important but lost behaviour.
Yeah, it is. And I think the echo chamber has a lot to do with it. Mm. You're constantly being pandered to and creating a bubble of what you want. But actually, there's many opinions that are being missed out from all walks and all paths of life. And, you know, that's a problem.
And the thing to be particularly careful of nowadays is, I suppose, to use the term of the past 4 or 5 years, is fake news. Because it's so easy now to take things out of context. You know, we've all seen little video snippets or little quotes that very carefully taken, just say this one bit, we'll ignore everything that went around it, you know, deliberately to convey a certain perception, and that's all too easy. I think be very, very careful about, we've kind of got onto our soapbox a little bit here, but it does, I think, feed into the broader topic of, you know, you need to be sure of what you're listening to, what they're listening to, and be respectful of it, because I'm sure I've been deceived by things unknowingly. It's very easy for us all to do that, and I would like someone to have some, not pity, but you know, a degree of understanding, and if someone says to me, actually that's not right, you don't want them being belligerent about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you want them to respect for Saka, actually, you know, you may not know this, but that was fake. And you think, oh okay, yeah. You know, I didn't know that, that's going to change my opinion.
Yeah, I think there's a huge opportunity with the internet and social media to learn and see different walks of life and different opinions, but by people just canceling people that they don't agree with, we're really putting ourselves at risk of almost stepping into a time machine back to, you know, a couple hundred years ago when people in your country had the same beliefs and the same religion and you were all kind of the same, and then this is why other countries were invaded and oppressed because they didn't believe the same thing. Like, do you see what I mean? Like, we're kind of making our world smaller and going back.
We had the prohibition and the Puritanism, you know, they were burning books of material that they didn't want people reading. And,
yeah.
And we always said, oh, we'll never do that. And that is happening. You know, that is what certain things being, and I don't necessarily think everything needs to be promoted, but equally, we can't just go to things because we disagree with it, because we think there's a distasteful idea in it. Because I said that makes things smaller and we become more ignorant. And then there's always a backlash to it. And that backlash is always worse than what you're trying to get rid of in the first place.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is you got to have
respectful dialogue.
Respectful dialogue, some hard conversations, and understand that it's a process and it's not just going to be resolved overnight. And it may not. You may have to agree to disagree, which is one of the most uncomfortable things, but is sometimes very necessary.
Yep.
I think that's a good place to leave it before we get back on our soapboxes. But again, you know, we're not promoting either side on anything here, whether that's political, spiritual, whatever, you know, the issue could be. But, you know, be a big person. Everyone needs to be a bigger person right now to make things work. All right. Have a good week, you guys. Bye.